Happy New Year, everyone. Guys, it is time for the Doctor Who After Show. I'm so excited to talk to you about the new New Year special. It's weird to say New Year special. I'm used to saying Christmas special, but we're going to talk about it. Resolution. Let's talk about it now on AfterBuzz TV.
You're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
For the one time in 2019... Let's hear that theme.
That's true.
Yes, it's sad but true. Guys, welcome back to AfterBuzz TV's Doctor Who After Show. I'm Zach Wilson. I'm so excited to talk to you guys about this episode. I have a wonderful panel here with me. We have Miss Adrian Snow.
Hello, everyone. How are you?
And Mr. Dave Child.
Hi.
I love that the theme... Killed right there. It was perfect timing. Happy New Year, everybody.
Happy New Year.
How was your guys' holiday? How was your Christmas with no Doctor Who?
That was sad. I have a tradition now of watching it with my brother. And this was like the first year my brother was watching it again. He kind of stopped watching Doctor Who. Huh. So I was going to watch it with my brother, and then we're like, well, we can't. So I guess we'll just... continue playing card games.
I had to spend more time talking to my family.
I know.
That's an extra hour of talking to family.
Ugh. Dang.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah.
I didn't go home, so it was fine.
Before we get started on the episode, I wanted to share a Doctor Who story that happened to me over the break. I feel like you guys will enjoy this. I went on a road trip. The past week, I drove super nerdy, but I drove to Devil's Tower in Wyoming because I love Close Encounters of the Third Kind. Irrelevant to the story, but as I'm coming back through the rest of Wyoming, I was in this town and I pulled over so that I could adjust my GPS and like figure out where I'm going next. And a cop pulls up behind me and is like pulling into the parking lot. So I move my car into the parking lot and basically because I'd pulled over in a no standing zone.
Oh, okay.
And he walks up and he's like, license and registration. I'm finding the paperwork and giving to you and all that. And I'm like, oh God, please don't give me a ticket. And then he's just like, that's a TARDIS on your dashboard. I have a little TARDIS. And he's like, all right, you're good. Just don't be in no standing zone, but I should write you a ticket for having Matt Smith on your dashboard, not David Tennant.
Let
me go.
I agree with that officer, but yes.
I was just like, this police officer is a huge nerd, I think that the doctor got me out of a ticket.
Yeah.
Yep. Whovians, you know, we unite.
Yeah.
Whovians have respect for each other. I thought it was a lot of fun.
That's cool.
Yeah, I kind of wish you said, like, what, you don't have Jody up there? That would be nice.
Like, what's that about?
Yeah.
It's harder to find the Jody toys. I mean, you can get them.
They're coming.
Like, they're not everywhere yet.
You'll have all of 2019 to look for your Jody.
Right?
But with that aside, let's dive into this episode. And just first reactions, let's start with Adrian. What do you think?
I really liked it. I think a lot of people were like, can I get a classic? I need a classic storyline. Just give it to me just once.
Yeah.
And, you know, Chris Chibnall was like, I'm not going to give it to you. Until you're not going to have Doctor Who for another year. And it's like, okay, fine, but I'll give it to you for an hour and a half. So I appreciated that. I appreciate the storyline, and I appreciated really getting to see, finally getting some resolve with Ryan's dad. So overall, I really did like the episode.
Yeah. Yeah, it was fun. It was good. It was much better than the season finale. So that's why I enjoyed it. And also, like... And the little stuff that they did, that like the bringing back the Dalek, having the Dalek be a part of it, and also kind of with the way they designed the Dalek was kind of cool in a new way.
Did you know it was a Dalek?
Yeah,
I knew like almost immediately. I was also, like, oh, it's a Dalek.
I think they also kind of like revealed that on a commercial, weirdly.
Really?
Like, because I remember some people on... I was avoiding all, you know, what's coming up because I wanted to be surprised. But it sounded like it was revealed, and a lot of people were kind of pissed about that. Because we all knew, but
when they showed the first teaser with the finale, mm-hmm. there was nothing. It was hints. Like, it was like the most dangerous DNA of the most dangerous creature in the universe. Oh, okay. And we all sort of like in the panel were like, oh, it's the Daleks. It's probably gonna be the Daleks. But then they re-put out that trailer exactly the same, except for a sound cue at the end where you hear exterminate, and you're just like, oh, okay. Thank you for the hint, BBC.
Yeah.
But I was totally fine with it. To me, that didn't ruin the reveal. Yeah. In this episode, I loved this episode. Uh-huh. I thought this was great. It was the most threatening the Daleks have felt since Dalek in season one.
Oh yeah.
To me, like,
you mean when she's like goes up the stairs and then it's like levitate, like the
episode's just called Dalek, yeah. like with Eccleston, like because that was when. One Dalek was scary.
Yeah.
Like, you were worried about one Dalek. And they haven't been as threatening since, because the Doctor has single-handedly defeated a billion Daleks, like, five times.
Yeah, and we haven't really seen... I feel like even at the end of Capaldi, we weren't really seeing the Daleks anymore. They were kind of like, maybe we've overdone them. So it was nice to kind of get a Dalek and to also have one in a way that... was outside of the box and was like kind of also self-made, just like how the Doctor was kind of self-made at the beginning when she didn't have her TARDIS, she didn't have her screwdriver, so she kind of had to come be resourceful on her own. So it was interesting to see the opposite of that with a Dalek doing all that kind of, I'm going to make myself my tank and control this woman.
Yeah. Oh, well, it continues that pattern of the Doctor and the Daleks are mirror. Two sides of the same coin. Like, this is... So let's talk about the Dalek in this episode. This is a new take on the Daleks. Like something like Chibnall did something that we've never seen before with the Daleks, which is crazy when you think of how many times this show has done Dalek episodes. Like we've done like genetically re-engineered Daleks. We've done depressed Daleks. Mm-hmm.
Have we done a really old Dalek? That's the question.
Sort of. I mean, when you talk about Davros, like he's sort of a really old Dalek.
But was this an older Dalek?
No.
It was like one of the first Daleks.
It was.
Well, sort of. So like the story
also,
was
Also, can you hear
started...
me now? Is the booth, did you bring up my mic? Can everyone hear me?
I can hear you, Dave.
Hear
you.
Okay, great. I only said it because the chat's saying it.
Well,
they're looking out for us.
Well, we do want to be able to hear you at least
Thank
some
you.
Of the time. But so we start out with this. It's back in like ancient times with like three armies that were like warring. Yeah. To me, it was like the video
the
game For
century.
Honor. Mm-hmm. If anybody played For Honor, it's like this. That's what happened here, except the Dalek got dropped in the middle of it.
Mm-hmm.
So they united to defeat defeat this one like rogue Dalek.
Yeah. Scout.
Scout Dalek. I didn't mean it was, yes.
Yeah. Yes. We know what you mean.
Yeah, reconnaissance.
Reconnaissance scout.
Recon junk Dalek, as they say in the chat.
I thought it was really cool. Like, so that's what they did. And then the Dalek taking over people like that was really cool.
It reminded me of, I think it was called the Puppet Master in the 90s. Not the Puppet Master. And it was like with Donald Sutherland, and he would.
Like, I don't remember.
The alien would like stick its like little things in the back of your neck and like
was
shoot
that
around
Puppet
into
Master?
Your head. Yeah, the Puppet Master.
Okay.
And it would control people, and it would like just sit on their back.
It
reminded nightmares.
It reminded me, and the way you leaned in, Dave, I thought you were gonna go towards this, of the Yerks from Animorphs.
Oh, no. Yeah. I'm not as huge Animorphs as you are.
But, like, the Yerks were these slugs that, like, went into your brain and, like, you were still conscious.
Yeah, I haven't thought about Animorphs in forever. Except for whenever I see
so
a hawk.
I think you've brought them up before.
I'm sure that I have. Yeah. I love... Animorphs is, like, the greatest thing ever from my childhood.
Right.
Tobias.
But the Yerks, like, it's that same concept of, like, you're still fully conscious and aware of everything that's happening, but somebody else is piloting.
Yeah.
And I thought that was a really cool take on the Daleks. It's way better than the eye stalk coming out of the, like...
Right. The eye stalk.
that take on it. It was like... But, yeah, it's cool to, like, reinvent the Dalek and give them some new powers.
It reminded me of Starro, too, from Justice League and DC Comics. Because Starros are these little starfish that... kind of attach to people's faces and take them over and become a hive mind.
Nice.
And I was like, man, a little Dalek-y.
I think it's funny that we all had different, like, this reminds me of. But none of that's bad. Like, it's just that, like, Chibnall was using good science fiction tropes to make this episode.
Also, by the way, lesson, if you see a squiddy octopusy thing on the wall, don't go up and touch it.
Why would you touch it?
Why would the first thing you do be touching
it? Yeah, poke it with a stick.
I'm such a hippie. I was seaweed harvesting this summer.
Whoa.
And
way to drop that info.
There was an octopus in the water, and like one woman saw it and freaked out and started screaming, and like the rest of us were like flocking towards the octopus. Octopus are dangerous. Don't approach an octopus. Like, no. They can crush you. So I get the impulse, but no, still not a good idea.
And they could take over your brain and take over the world.
An octopus will take over.
I think according to the chat, Dave's mic still needs a little bit of a boost.
That's what I hear. I wasn't going to dwell on it.
And also resolution is spelled different. but let's keep going in this episode. Mm-hmm. So we get the Dalek, and then once the Doctor gets involved, this is the first time I felt like Jody has felt really like scared.
I do have a question of whether you saw the storm behind Jody's eyes, because that was something we talked about during the finale, whether we were going to come up with
the oncoming storm.
Yeah, the oncoming storm from Jody, because we were hoping to kind of get that. Maybe because we haven't seen it at all this season.
We got some hints of it.
A little bit.
We got a little bit more of it than I think we've – that's what I was getting towards. Like, we got a little bit more of that intense Doctor, but it still wasn't as big as we've seen from Tennant, from Smith,
and honestly,
obviously Capaldi, who's 90% Storm.
Without it, because I think it's nice to have a break from the whole oncoming storm thing that the Doctor is doing
for a solid decade. Yeah.
And so to have a Doctor that can still be menacing and resourceful without having to have a big speech about how they're the oncoming storm or something like that, I'm okay with that.
Like, Eastie74 in the chat says she's the oncoming drizzle.
Oh. No.
Because she's still fighting. It's cute.
But it
feels like too negative. Because it's not that like it's bad. Because it's not like she's trying to go there and hasn't. I just don't think that there's been that moment. But it's also one season.
The moment that I really liked was when the Dalek started laughing. She set up the TARDIS so it pulled the Dalek in. So she was like, say it to my face. And I was like,
That was cool.
I like that.
Was one part that kind of like, it was almost her oncoming, here I am. Hi, everybody. It was kind of the storm moment she had her big speech to him. And then she kind of turned to the fam and was like, how'd I do? How was that good? Which was funny. But at the same time, I'm like, oh, kind of took the weight out of it.
No, I also think it's nice to have a doctor that isn't always so sure of herself, you know?
Yeah.
Because the doctor was so sure of himself. And it kind of goes back to that joke that was made during the 50th anniversary when that other Time Lord turned back into a woman. And the first thing she said was like, oh, so much ego. So you get like there's going to be a different doctor when the doctor is inhabiting a different gender. And so there's still a menace to her. She's still just as smart and just as savvy as all the other doctors. But she's going to handle things differently.
Yeah.
So I appreciate that's being incorporated into the doctor. Because it was a lot of ego.
Yeah. Yeah, she has much less ego. I mean, she's part of an ensemble.
Especially Tennant. Come on.
I thought Matt had quite a bit of ego.
He did.
Especially that first episode. I was like, geez, okay.
As he put it, the 10th me was so egotistical, he regenerated with the same face.
Yeah. That's true.
That's a good point. And she's all about, like, this family and the ensemble. I love how she introduces them as these are my best friends.
Yeah.
Which I thought was, like,
yeah,
a great way of introducing, rather than "and this is my companion."
Yeah.
It's like, these are my best friends.
I do like that they're incorporating that in a subtle way. It's not like, I don't feel like I'm being beat over the head about, like, yeah, the doctor is definitely a woman. It's just like, there are going to be differences between a male doctor and a female doctor. And it's okay to have those differences.
And it wasn't like she wasn't savage in this episode, but I think who she was the most savage against is Ryan's dad, yes. Aaron. Which, like, ooh, she's not pulling punches. She's not being...
Straight up, she's like, you're Ryan's dad. He's like, yeah. She's like, you weren't there for him when he needed you. And I was like, whoosh.
There was no subtlety. That was so classic doctor in the sense that she just, like, ignored any social graces that you're supposed to have in that circumstance where you're just, like, supposed to, like, let everyone, like, handle their private stuff
and just
private.
Become like, oh, yeah, I'm just going to smile at you and see the underneath. No. That was very un-British of her, I do have to say, is to say something right away.
Well, reminder that she's not British, she's Gallifreyan.
Yeah, of course. And also, when Aaron was doing something right, it was like, oh, good job, Aaron. That almost makes up for your lack of parenting. And I was
You just want somebody in the room, like maybe Yaz, because Yaz, again, didn't have much to do. Yeah. Yaz could just at least come in with like a...
I would want Graham to do that.
Yes, which Graham kind of was
way better.
I love when she even said something negative. And also, can we talk about the moment when Graham opened the door and said like no, and instantly closed it?
Yeah,
and it made me know like, oh, that's Ryan's dad.
Me too.
Yeah. But when he came in and then the doctor said all those harsh things right away, it was just a nice cut to Graham being like, yep. I'm really glad someone said something.
Yeah. I love how much Graham... Because let's go through our companions how they were reacting in this episode.
First, like, Yaz was in the show. Next. Yeah.
Poor Yaz.
Let's start with the positives first. Positives.
I was going to end with the negatives.
Graham, I thought, had a great amount of stuff to do. I love that he was so... devoted to Team TARDIS in this, like,
you gotta come pick me up.
Yeah,
they left without me.
He was so hurt. Yeah. It was just like the timing, like they just forgot Graham.
Yeah, they were just busy doing what they always do.
She did break his chair. Like, was it necessary to land the TARDIS in the house?
Always. When has the Doctor ever landed the TARDIS outside of a house? Remember, even last season, Bill. On a date.
I guess that's fair. I guess maybe like British homes have higher ceilings. No. Most like if
I don't my think she thinks
if that
about
happened
it.
In my apartment, it would just be in the ceiling.
Mm-hmm. The last time
my
I recall,
upstairs neighbor would be really upset.
The Doctor not landing in someone's house was Tennant in Eccleston years, and that's the last time I recall. He would always land the TARDIS right outside of Rose's apartment complex. And maybe Martha, but ever since then, it's just been inside people's houses. Yeah.
No, it still lands. I mean, like, Amy and Rory's house, it was never inside the building. Like,
I'm surprised about that.
But didn't he buy
that
house for them?
The Doctor?
Didn't he?
Oh, I was talking about, like, Amy's, like, childhood home.
Oh, okay.
And then, like...
He did destroy their barn. Or their little cat.
He goes back and forth. Either way, I'm just saying, Doctor, maybe check what... furniture you're going to crash before you land the TARDIS.
Just don't leave your furniture in the living room. That's what she said.
So let's do Yaz, and like we'll spend as much time talking about her as the episode let her.
They didn't even use with Yaz. I was disappointed because they actually had an excuse to have her be a police woman and like basically use that as hey. I'm with the police. I'm of this area. This is why we're clearing out the people in the very beginning when they're talking to the people who are setting up this whole story. She talked like a police person. Mm-hmm. They had like when she said, we'll let you know when it's safe. But she didn't use her authority. She didn't pretend to be show off the fact that she was a police person.
Pretend. They're in the right time zone.
Yeah, she's a police officer.
And she's – and like I don't maybe not for that town, but –
No, it's Sheffield, right?
Yeah, was she an officer in Sheffield?
I believe so.
So even more so. Yeah. She actually has jurisdiction over these people.
She could have flashed a badge. It could have been like a great Yaz moment where...
Or if like she knew the cops that got taken out by the dock. Like there were
For all we know, they might have shot that. It is an hour and a half. All we know, they might have shot that and they just decided, we want to focus on Aaron and we want to focus on the dialogue.
They've been doing that all season long, yeah. And there could have been a great moment where she could have tried. Okay, they called UNIT. I love how UNIT wasn't around, and she could have called up all the police friends that she has and organized them.
Yeah.
And it would have been a great moment where all of a sudden they have a police force organized because of Yaz.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
That doesn't happen, and it's a little disappointing.
There were opportunities for her. Like it's been a crowded season with three companions, mm-hmm. and like I understand, like that's like okay. So Ryan and Graham got sort of the forefront this year, mm-hmm. and Yaz sort of had to take a back seat just because like they were focusing on the dynamic between the other two.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about that a lot in the finale discussion, but. To continue to this point, like they had an opportunity to give Yaz more to do, even just flashing a badge to like remind us that like she has that authority.
Yeah.
Like, she doesn't need psychic paper; she has an actual badge.
Yeah,
and it was just a missed opportunity.
And there's in the chat, Morbin Counters wrote, "Wouldn't she get in trouble if word got back to her boss?" Yes, great conflict, more character building.
Yeah,
bring it in.
Who knows when the last time Yaz went into work?
I know.
Because time is still going. They might be able to go back in like, time.
We don't know. They might have been.
She's totally been fired.
Yeah. Well, we don't know. They might have been gone for like a week or two.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
But regardless.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need to belabor the point. We do. That's something I hope that next season we do get more of. If Yaz is going to continue to be on the show, let's put her.
She can't just have one episode. Ryan and Graham have had every episode.
And even that episode was barely Yaz's episode. It was Yaz's family.
Yeah.
And Next
season should just be the Yaz season.
Yeah. Who's Yaz? Does she have other friends?
Some conflict in her life should come up.
Even if you want to make it about her dynamic with other people, I had somebody suggest to me at a New Year's Eve party that they think the Doctor and Yaz should get together.
There's a shipping thing. I hope not.
Yeah. I think we talked about that early on, and I was like, I hope the Doctor is just with no one.
I'm sort of happy with an aromantic Doctor for right now. Yeah. Like, we'll see where Jodie goes, but like for now, I'm like,
romance.
I'm totally good with this.
A decade of
so
romance.
So, Ryan got the big part of the episode because we finally met his dad.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of we've sort of hinted at his dad's who his dad is and why he abandoned him and all of this stuff. What did you think about what we ended up getting?
I think I'm still kind of a bit vague. I think it comes down to maybe that he was just young when he had Ryan and he just kept messing up. But I did like the introduction. It was nice to finally see him. Keep talking about him, like, who the hell is this guy? So to finally get him was great. The way that Ryan handled his interactions with his dad was great.
I love when he calls Graham Gramps right in front of him.
Yeah, and he's like, what?
And he's like, Gramps, what? And he's like, that's right.
That's right.
Take it.
Ryan did that
in his face. Like, he might as well have locked eyes with his dad, and he's just like, Gramps.
Like, this is the man who's been in my life. And I like, at the end, that kind of resolve. The only thing I didn't like about Ryan's story is that they felt the need to bring up the dyspraxia that we never see.
Oh, my God.
And I was like, we never see it, one.
And now you're bringing it up
that he did really well for a guy who has it. And I'm like, but you never have any moments where it's a conflict, except for the first episode. Anyways.
Not even the times when he has the battle chutes and ladders does he have to, like, really, is it really a problem?
Yeah.
And I would even say, I would argue that I don't think the resolution of this was quite as strong as it could be, because the relationship between Aaron and Ryan was a little, like, vague in itself. It would have been stronger, I think, if he was someone who never did anything for Ryan, never stood up for Ryan, and has left. And then maybe at the end, instead of Ryan having to almost sacrifice himself for his dad, he does something to almost sacrifice himself for Ryan. I think it would have been a stronger, like, he would have shown his love or affection. Or maybe it's that Ryan won't admit that he still loves his dad even after years of abandonment, but that hasn't been the case because the way he's talked about his dad, it's been complicated, but mm-hmm. I still got the sense that he loved him. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really resolve anything.
If it had been the other way, if it had been the Dalek got Ryan instead, you think that would have been stronger?
I think it would have been stronger, yeah, or I think it could have been I don't want to like say he could have sort of sacrificed himself, but they had a moment where he's like, "No, Ryan, I got to do this for you," and let himself go,
that
and then they stop
sucked.
Him. That would have sucked, but
only
it would...
because they already took away his grandma, and I was like,
"Yeah,
well,
I didn't want that to happen."
Let's
but...
not Thor up this dude's yeah, life. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
I would have
Thor up.
Thor up.
Thor, oh, as in
it got
Thored
up.
I've been watching a lot of Infinity War.
Yeah, so. Of course.
I would have liked to see a little more extreme in the Aaron Ryan dynamic. Mm-hmm. Like after all the build up, I was expecting like a dad who's like, I know that Doctor Who wouldn't do this, but I was expecting like the drunk dad who just like doesn't ever who like maybe borderlines on abusive. Like here's the thing.
I'm grateful they didn't do that because that plays into some stuff.
I don't want them to do that, but that's sort of what they had set up when they talked about his dad. The way they talked about it, they were setting up to me something a lot worse. And his dad actually seemed fairly put together.
I would actually say one of the strongest moments of the story, besides the whole A story going on, is actually the guy who played Aaron was great. And he brought in a lot of stuff, and the writing of those scenes was interesting because even when he sounded like he was trying to sell something that's broken and he was trying to con someone, right afterwards he's like, "This is actually a good product.
Yeah.
I just always sound like I'm selling a con, so I'm bad at this." And then also when he talks about like not going to his mom's funeral, that was a very sincere, very great moment. And I actually love that he was a human.
I have 2 points. One, who is this person? Morbid Encounters. We're not saying that he has to be the guy with dyspraxia. I think what we're saying is that they brought it up once. They only bring it up when they want to randomly use it as a way to kind of make a random conflict, or when they want to bring up the fact that he did something.
Yeah, we've spent a lot of time talking about it before,
it's just
so we don't need
poorly
to
used, limit, is what
but
we're
like mean. You can look at our discussion about it in the episode of Kerblam and in the beginning. Like it's not the amount they talk about it more than they actually show it.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And then I was also going to say I liked that his dad wasn't the kind of deadbeat black dad that we would expect.
True.
That they kind of subverted that stereotype by just making him not good at parenting. Like even the doctor says, you're just not good at parenting. It's not like he's a criminal or a drug addict or an alcoholic, which is, you know, you can watch pretty much anything. And that's how a lot of black dads are portrayed on television. So to just have him be like, I know it sounds like I'm conning you, but no, I really do think this is a good idea. And no, I haven't been there for you because maybe I'm going through some emotional stuff because I lost my mother and you lost your grandmother, but she was my mother. And I don't feel like I've been a good dad to you.
Oh,
so they kind of like fleshed him out more, which I appreciated.
No,
At the same time, there was some stuff I did have conflicts with, like in terms of how they resolved it in the end. But
I also love, just before we move off of it too much, when Graham's like, why weren't you at the funeral? Not for me, not for your mom, not for Ryan, but for yourself. Yeah. Why are you denying yourself? That was a great, well-written moment, and also showed how Graham is worried about him, too. Even this guy he doesn't really like, he's worried about him, and because he's always been the son of Nan, like, beforehand. So, and she was always, like, a big... has these moments like, I did everything I wanted to do because I'm proud of my son.
Yeah.
So.
No, that was a wonderful moment. And I thought that Aaron's reason for not going to the funeral, like, it hurt. Like, it made so much sense. Mm-hmm. Like, he wasn't doing it out of anger or, like, anything. It was fear because he just, that was very real.
Yeah.
If I just don't deal with it, it's not a problem.
Yeah.
A lot of people have gone through that.
Oh, yeah.
I understand that. That felt very human.
Yeah.
And that
yeah.
was a great moment. I feel like there's more to talk about with the Dalek.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, let's get back to the
Dalek. So let's circle back to the Dalek because
we haven't really talked about Lily or.
Yeah, Lynn or Mitch were
Lynn.
Also great.
Lynn,
yeah,
my bad.
Lynn.
Lily.
When we introduced that couple at the top of the
episode,
I felt so bad for them. Literally wrote down a note.
Doomed.
Oh no, this couple is too adorable.
Yeah, I know. As soon as you meet an adorable couple
oh my
or
God,
someone
so sweet.
You love, I'm like, no, they're not. One of them is not going to make it out
alive. As soon as they were like, so sweet. And then she's like, oh, I'll go check on it by myself. And I was like, wow. Just hit those tropes back to back. And then she's like, oh, it's gone now. I'm like, it's on her. It's on her body.
It's on her body. It's controlling her right now. We all know it's controlling her right now. Yeah, yeah, that was clear. But one thing that is nice about Doctor Who, and I realized while watching this, first thing I thought was like, one of them is not going to get out of this alive. But they do come out of it alive.
Both came out alive.
But what I like about Doctor Who is sometimes they don't. Yeah. Sometimes they will, and often they introduce like adorable person we love, and then they kill him off for the sake of
like
isn't that
again,
terrible?
Again, the Kerblam episode where I'm just like, what did you do?
Yeah, exactly.
But these two lovebirds are gonna have their shot.
That was such a good conversation too. It felt so real. Mm-hmm. It felt like that. Like, what type of kiss was that for you?
And like, and neither one wants to be the one to say it.
They don't
like,
want
to
be rejected.
Because it felt like a kiss. It felt like a long kiss. That was great.
Yeah,
it was adorable.
Yeah, and it also was something. This episode was actually really good about talking about what New Year's means to some people and how, and that's something that New Year's is one that kind of tends to go by, but the idea of resolutions about change, about wanting to change yourself, and that literally happens in one case, but also the aftermath of New Year's Eve was a big part of this episode because people were drunk and just wanting to watch TV and Wi-Fi, but also like, they got to talk about what happened last night.
Oh, that cutaway moment where the Dalek has turned off all the Wi-Fi and it cuts to that family and they're like, what are we going to do now? She's like, I guess we're going to have a conversation. And everyone's just like, oh my God.
It's like what we talked about at the beginning of this episode when you took Christmas special away from us.
That's what happens. We spend New Year's Day with our friends. We spend Christmas with our family. We need to avoid our family and spend time with our friends.
Oh, boy. So the Dalek gets out in the world. I really loved the building of the tank sequence. Mm-hmm. Like that whole thing like breaking into the Black Archive, which I guess is – so let's talk about UNIT. For a minute, because
it was a great
little scene of like
politics getting in the way.
Yeah, and like they didn't say it, but I kept expecting them to say. Yeah, I kept expecting them to be like, well, you know, Brexit.
Yeah.
So basically, they didn't say it because I think Doctor Who just like is trying to avoid being political.
And there's certain
political
things you can't do in terms of.
But they all but said UNIT got destroyed because of Brexit. Which is hilarious.
Which was great. It was great.
Horrible,
because
but hilarious.
There's also been like a lot of Trump nods. There's been a lot of even Brexit nods in the past, and to have that be a little bit is just enough. And that little and that person on the phone, that operator, the phone operator, that was such a great moment. The call center, Polly. Laura Evelyn played that, and she was great. But it also reminded me of something that was just happening like a couple of weeks ago. 911 stopped working for a lot of people.
Oh.
It just stopped in a lot of areas of the country, of even America, it stopped working.
I mean, have you tried calling 911?
It's a joke.
I called because somebody was very aggressive on the road, and I was on hold for like 30 minutes. So if you are struggling or in pain or about to die, just drive yourself to the hospital because 911 is not there.
Call 911 first, and then if it doesn't work, go to
you know what? Don't take emergency advice from people
from
on a Doctor Who podcast.
But don't call 911.
That's a good starter.
call 911, please.
But I did really like how she's just like, I can connect you with any other kinds of military.
Yeah, that was great. That was a good moment.
That may be able to help. And eventually we did get some military people attacking the Dalek. And again, this is what I was saying earlier. Like, one Dalek became scary again because all it took was just one Dalek blasting off into the air and just double I love that this Dalek doesn't have a plunger. It has a claw.
I like that.
Creepy, sharp claw. Like, I hope this is that's a design that sticks around if Daleks come
back.
Well,
I hope so too, but it also makes sense when you make it out entirely out of scrap metal. Yes. You're not going to find if you find a plunger, it's not going to stick a plunger in it. It's not actually a plunger, you know?
No. That plunger going on people's faces back in the day is hilarious. Sorry.
It made sense contextually, but it also was like, "Oh, this is a scary looking Dalek." Like suddenly this makes sense, like when it like opens up the like the missiles. Balls of mystery and there's missiles inside.
Or even just like whenever you'd see the Dalek and its casing, like if it got blown open or something, it wasn't that scary. It was just like a glob of goo. So to see it kind of like this octopusy thing actually wrapping itself around somebody and then plugging a part of itself into a person's neck, that is a scary Dalek. That's terrifying.
Also, there was a buildup about it's building a tank, and it actually made me realize, oh, Daleks are just tiny tanks that are flying around. They're super powerful tiny tanks.
And they had little missiles.
Yeah, and that's a much better way of looking at them than buckets on wheels, which I think all the jokes about Daleks tend to go towards that like area, but they are tank like and this looked like a tank, and it was built up like a tank, and you saw how it was stronger than her staying on the human body than the Dalek staying on the human body.
So. I like Time Lady Rose in the chat. The top was like a corset with a big
it did have a curve
it belled a little.
I was like, okay.
Lady Dalek. I almost felt like when she was building something, I was worried, and I'm glad it turned out to be just a Dalek casing. But there was something about it that's just a steampunk like dress outfit the type we see at cons all the time, and it was that she was going to be a part of the actual thing.
I'm always here for montages of women using like heavy metal objects and setting crap on fire.
Yeah.
That's like my favorite part of Flashdance. So
you could have had one moment with a Dalek. Like poured some water on itself. That would have been after
a nice little hitting along to the beat of the music. Yeah,
I also really liked how they used the sound design around the Dalek's voice in talking. Mm. We heard a very clear, deep, like booming voice, but then as soon as it got upset or it started to. Because as it got more towards like the tank side, it started to be more into that classic
exterminate.
Like, the electronic like modulated sound that we're used.
Yeah,
to.
It's nice to kind of know that the Dalek's voice is not necessarily that sound that it's going through.
At
some
least
type
not
of
its
thing.
Internal monologue.
Yeah,
because that's the thing. It's like when it was talking. That's why I thought the sound design was cool, because what we're hearing is Lynn.
Lynn,
yeah.
What she's hearing this deep voice, but everyone else is just hearing her.
Yeah. Well, except for when it talks to, and I guess, however, the Doctor was able to do that when it was in the TARDIS, where you heard both Lynn's voice and
I guess because it was a psychic connection.
Yeah.
And then the
laugh was clearly like that Dalek-y type of sound.
Oh, that laugh was so creepy.
Yeah.
And I loved the reaction on the Doctor's face. Like, a laughing Dalek is like the scariest thing in the universe.
Yeah. Yeah.
And something I can't say for sure that we haven't seen that. I feel like at some
Tenet,
point a Dalek has laughed.
There was a point where one.
Oh God!
All right,
come on. One kind of laugh.
That'll last in my dreams.
So I really loved all of that. Mm-hmm. This episode was just really strong for me.
It's kind of like when Predator laughed at the end of Predator 2. You remember that? And it's like things went out.
Ooh.
Sorry, it was really funny.
just overall, I really liked this episode.
Mm-hmm.
It was we needed a classic villain.
Yeah.
I think after this season, every individual, we talked about this a little bit in the finale. Every individual episode was like, for the most part, like there's one or two that I didn't love, but like overall, they were all good episodes.
Yeah,
and like I wouldn't like give back any of them, but I was missing but I was missing that familiarity that is just part of Doctor Who. Like there were no known villains. There was no like recurring or serialized elements other than Graham and Ryan's relationship.
Yeah.
And this was the thing that I wanted. I wanted this like a little more of Dalek lore and like some stuff that connected us to the past. Like this custodian,
the
custodians, people that like are like planted around the world guarding this dark secret. Like
yeah.
that's some classic Doctor Who nonsense.
Yeah.
And I am here for it.
And that, you know, just to give us a little bit of it, because it was a great season. I enjoy the season. I enjoy Jodie. I'm happy she's coming back. I'm happy Chris is coming back. But I also was like, but can you give me, like, a little bit of a Dalek or a Cyberman?
Yeah.
Or the Master or somebody? I just need a little bit. Like, yeah, just give me one. So, I mean, yeah, it's a nice way to send us off into 2019 and, you know.
Tide us over.
And, like, yeah, and the, in case you guys hadn't heard, we joked about it at the top of the episode, but, yeah, this is going to be the only Doctor Who episode that will air in 2019. The show is going back into production for next season, but they, and while I expect there will be another special, probably New Year's again. Mm-hmm.
I hope there's one sooner. I hope they surprise us with
maybe,
something.
But right. But I doubt, like, they're, as far as I know, they're not in production yet, and Doctor Who takes so long to write, shoot, and, like, do post on because it's become such a production.
Yeah.
And, like, as visual effects get bigger and more extensive, like, it takes longer to make episodes. That was part of the argument, the rumored argument between Chibnall and BBC was that, like, Chibnall wants more time to do this right, and BBC's like wants him to rush, and those two things can't both work.
We went 2 years without Game of Thrones, so, you know.
Yeah.
Just I'm still mad about now.
I'm a little annoyed, but it's fine. We went a year, Outlander, we had a year break between two and three, I think.
It's felt like we've had longer breaks of Doctor Who. It's just that this one happens to be a full calendar year, which is surprising. But I'm really looking forward to next season. I'm hoping that we do take the fact that, like, okay, this Dalek episode really worked. Mm-hmm. And Chibnall, like, notices that and, like, he sees, like, okay, the audience was responding to this. I would love to see. So, like, real quick before we sign off, like, I want to know what you guys want to see next season. Like, now that we've hit our classic villain for Jodie, what else do you want to see next season, if anything like that?
And I'll Buzz TV predictions.
Yeah. I guess it's predictions. It's wants.
Do I want for 2020?
Yeah, and I'll start while you guys think about it, since I just dropped this on you. Yeah. I would love to see the Master.
Oh,
I would love to see Jodie's. Mm-hmm. Because I think that the Master is such the way that the Dalek is a response to the Doctor, and these are and that's oh that scene was great where the Dalek is like, "Who are you?"
Yeah,
I'm the Doctor. Oh no, get the F out of here.
Yeah,
That was great. But that's what I want to see. Is it like if this Doctor is Ferris Bueller, is the Master like the principal, or
nice.
Just like somebody who like hates fun, or like so. Like I think that Jodie's Doctor would be really interesting to see what the Master would be like against her as like her opposite.
Yeah, I guess what I really want for 2020 is a great Democratic candidate. But outside of that, I would love to see more stuff with Yaz. I think fleshing Yaz's character out a little bit more as like just like as an individual would be great. I would love to see some stuff with the Master. I would love to see like this Doctor's version of like the plasticine people, like something that's like so on its own kind of terrifying, or the Silence or something. Yeah. I would like one, like maybe just like a two-parter of a serialized type of thing.
Yeah.
I think that would make
a scarier
me really
recurring villain than Tim Shaw.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, a better villain to bookend your show around. Yes. Scary episodes. I want scary episodes, more scary episodes. And, I miss that, the creepiness of the Moffat years, but also like, I also want just strong. I just want strong single storytelling like episodes, like the Demons of Punjab this season. I loved. I want that, but with maybe a bit more of a sci-fi bent to it, and maybe with a bit more of a scary bent to it, and be adventurous in your storytelling. Since you're being adventurous in a lot of other ways, I like to see them kind of push the edges around, rather than just kind of stick to a very TV format.
Yeah. And you guys, be sure to let us know what you want to see next season on Doctor Who. Let us know in the comments below. We'll be talking about Doctor Who.
Can I quickly say?
Oh.
I'm gonna want to quickly say what people want according to these comments are Jack Harkness, which I don't know if that's gonna happen.
Please,
but maybe
please, I want it.
K-9,
yes,
and Missy as the Master.
is someone bringing back Missy somehow.
Missy's gone, but like I think a new master would be like, that's what I want to see. I want to see something, a new take. Yeah. Missy was great. I love Missy. I think she's one of my favorite versions of the master,
not
my favorite.
She's
when she made that call, by the way, a lot of people in chat wanted it, and I thought this too was gonna be Jack, that she was gonna call up Jack.
That would be nice.
That would have been great.
No.
But yeah, let us know what you guys are looking forward to, what you want to see next season. You can do the comments. Hit us up on Twitter, because we will be talking. I will always be willing to talk about Doctor Who with you.
Always.
So much to talk about. So long to wait. So I need my Who fix. So give me my Who fix. Just hit me up on Twitter. You can find me at that Zach Wilson. THATZACHWILSON. Also, be sure to check me out on our sister network, Popcorn Talk, on Marvel Movie News. And I have a podcast where we ship random fictional characters that don't belong together. It's called Ships in the Night. It gets super. We just did Catwoman and the Hamburglar to give you a hint of how things go on that show. Ships in the Night. Thank you all so much. Adrian.
You can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at Ms. Adrian Snow. You can also catch me on Sundays for the Outlander After Show on AfterBuzz TV.
And I'm Dave Child. You can find me at MrDaveChild on the Twitters and the Instagrams and DaveChild.com, because I'm Dave Child.
All right, guys. This has been the Doctor Who After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.